Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Somehow, the New York Post reports that the gun used by the monster who opened fire on a crowded Brooklyn subway this morning, that gun jammed in the middle of the bloodshed, preventing him from causing far more carnage. That's what law enforcement sources told the New York Post. They also recovered the jammed Glock and two extended magazines at the scene of the shooting, which happened aboard a Manhattan-bound N train just as it was pulling into the 36th Street station in Sunset Park. That was at 8:20 a.m. New York time. And all of this is so remarkable and so horrible. The subway attack, witnesses recall smoke and blood and people screaming. The attacker is still at large. He is described as a black male. He's 5'5" high, so a smaller guy than usual, and apparently a heavyset build. He was apparently trying to masquerade or to cloak himself as if he were some kind of a transit worker. And we're going to be speaking to a former high official and very much decorated official in the FBI who actually eventually succeeded in catching the Unabomber. And that took years, literally years of investigation. Right now, there is this one individual who got away into a city of 8 million. Will he be caught? Is it important that he be caught? Of course it's important that he be caught. First of all, there's a question about whether or not this is, in fact, an issue of terrorism. They apparently have found a van that they have associated with this individual. And if they have that, then they should be able to identify who he is at some point, and maybe soon. We will be talking about that with James R. Fitzgerald coming up this hour, an FBI manhunter. We're also going to be speaking a little bit later to Jonathan Haidt, who is a remarkably prestigious and well-respected academic who has actually just written a huge piece under the headline, Why the Past 10 Years of American Life Have Been Uniquely Stupid. And why? He says it's the Tower of Babel syndrome. Now, even for those who are not well-schooled in the Bible, this is a very, very interesting analogy. We will get to that. Speaking of Babel, they've just released some of the sex ed curriculum that they're trying to spring on New Jersey school children. This is coming up this year in September before the election. And it is unbelievable. And for people who are saying, well, basically conservatives are trying to cut off people's rights to discuss questions of sexual identity or questions of gay identity, you won't believe, honestly, and because I can't even read some of it on the radio. And this is aimed at first graders and second graders. It has to do with various openings in the body and the way that they are described by the enlightened. By the way, just guessing here very strongly, this will never be used in a classroom, not in New Jersey, not anywhere. It's sick. And we will get to that. And again, everybody thinks of your children, your grandchildren, maybe the neighbor's kids. Really? We want to subject our kids to this? Is it somehow judgmental or transphobic to bring up that idea? By the way, I certainly hope that the Disney company doesn't pick up a desire to support this kind of educational priority. It's just incredible. There's also a judge who has indicated at least the possibility that her opponents may be able to knock Marjorie Taylor Greene off the ballot. Now, this is not a question of beating her in a primary, which I certainly hope some Republican does. She's from a very Republican district. This literally means to use legal means to prevent her from appearing on an election ballot. Is that valid, or is that just taking politics a little bit too far and to a problematic manner? We will get to that conversation also on the Michael Medved Show. And there is so much more about Ukraine and about President Putin now saying that it is a noble cause and he will see it through. Headline in the New York Times, "A talk with Putin deepens the fear of worse attacks. Leader dismisses brutality as he targets Donbass," the Austrian chancellor says. What does the Austrian chancellor have to do with any of this? The Austrian chancellor, in case you're not on top of Austrian politics, is a guy named Karl Nehammer. And he met with Mr. Putin. Austria is not a member of NATO. It is participating in some of these sanctions against Russia. But he is the first Western leader to see Putin in person since the Ukraine invasion. He met with him yesterday. He said he came away feeling not only pessimistic about peace prospects, but fearing that Mr. Putin intended to dramatically intensify the brutality of the war. We will get to that story as well. In terms of the brutality of the war, what is going on with our country regarding this sudden rash of horrible crimes? And again, is it, if you're dealing with someone who is clearly a maniac and begins shooting at people at random, obviously, what you need to do is work out a situation so that people who are so bitterly disturbed, people who are potential terrorists, by the way, and nobody's ruling out the possibility of terrorism yet. I mean, after all, there is terrorism around the world, and unfortunately, we have had a very blessed period of time with a relative absence of terrorist attacks. But and which, by the way, goes to some of the effectiveness of the FBI, which is one of the reasons that I and the CIA and all of our counterterror ongoing efforts, which is one of the reasons I think it's so incredibly misguided for especially conservatives to turn against the FBI as an institution. But this is a little bit of what the subway sounded like, and eyewitnesses. We will get to that and get to more and keep you up to date of any updates as they come. Apparently, President Biden is going to speak about this at some point. The governor of New York already has. The mayor of New York, who is right now quarantined with COVID at Gracie Mansion, has had something to say. We will get to that and much more coming up on the Medved Show.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Show. There's more news about the crime wave in New York City, and actually in New York State. In addition to everything else terrible that has been happening, like the shooting today in the New York subway in Brooklyn, thank God, so far at least, no one has been reported with life-threatening injuries, though some of the injuries have led to hospitalization in hospitals nearby. You don't get shot in the leg, for instance. It may not be life-threatening, but it can certainly change your life and be one of those nightmarish experiences that would lead people not to take the subway anymore. Okay, at the same time, there's another nightmarish experience with the second highest ranking elective official in the state of New York. The lieutenant governor was arrested this morning. And he is looking at a world of hurt. Now, whether this has any impact on the conversation about Andrew Cuomo coming back and trying to run for governor again against Kathy Hochul, who was the lieutenant governor before, who took over after Governor Cuomo resigned. I mean, this is a bad stretch. The can we agree on that? I mean, those of us who are not New Yorkers, New York Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin arrested in campaign finance fraud case. The report from NBC News, New York Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin has surrendered to authorities to face finance fraud related charges in connection with a past campaign. Benjamin was charged with bribery, fraud, conspiracy, and falsification of records in an alleged scheme to obtain campaign contributions from a real estate developer in exchange for Benjamin's agreement to use his influence as a state senator to get a $50,000 grant of state funds for a nonprofit organization the developer controlled. Now, that is confusing to me. It's probably even more confusing to you. And I think that the one hope of him defending himself from these charges, well, I didn't understand. It's too complicated. It's confused me. Facing charges including bribery, fraud, conspiracy, and falsification of records. Sounds pretty bad. Lieutenant Governor Benjamin pleaded not guilty at an initial appearance in Manhattan federal court. He was released and bail was set at $250,000. He left without talking to reporters. Lawyers representing the lieutenant governor did not immediately respond to messages seeking comment. Governor Hochul, who appeared at a New York City news conference regarding the shooting on the subway, said she would speak about Lieutenant Governor Benjamin later in the day. We'll have a statement out there. I've not had a chance to speak to him. I was doing media interviews this morning, but this is not the place, but I will be addressing it very shortly, she said. His arrest comes after reports that Manhattan federal prosecutors and the FBI were investigating whether Benjamin knowingly engaged in a campaign finance and fraud scheme. Subpoenas were issued in connection with the investigation, two sources familiar with the subpoenas said at the time. The indictment said that Benjamin, who was formerly a state senator from Harlem, and others acting at his direction or on his behalf also engaged in a series of lies and deceptions to cover up the scheme that stretched between 2019 to 2021. So it was during a period when Andrew Cuomo was leading the state's Democratic Party. Is this a terrible season for Democrats and for parts of the country that once upon a time, and honestly, it's not that long ago, New York was viewed as a model city, one of the safest cities in the world, and it had been cleaned up. They certainly deal with the homeless situation better in New York City, still do, than San Francisco or L.A. or Seattle, for that matter. There is a new attempt to try to get legislation passed around the country to try to deal more effectively with the homeless situation, and that's maybe working in some states, but New York was doing better with that. New York had a crime rate that was way down, historically down, it was within the last 10 years. New York had reached the lowest murder rate ever since they had reliable crime rates that they used to measure. I mean, going back to the 1870s. Yes, that's right, 1870s. And now? Well, now it's not so good. Now you have things that sound like this. A sound of the subway horror along with an eyewitness. Listen.
I started seeing smoke coming up out of the station, and that's when I decided it was a good time to start moving. I got out of the area. Then I found out that there was undetonated explosives. Bear with and understand a little bit if people get crazy or whatever, but something that seems premeditated and organized, and they hadn't caught the guy, and then there's a manhunt. It seems a little bit more professional, a little bit more thought out and cleanly done. And that's the disturbing part to me.
Look, there's lots that's disturbing here. One of the things that happened is apparently none of the video cameras that they have that are supposed to mark anything that goes on at the subway, it may have been one of them worked, but most of them didn't, which is exactly the kind of breakdown that you worry about in a situation like this or in America's most populous city. The chief of police had this to say about the crime. Listen.
Just before 8:24 this morning, as a Manhattan-bound N train waited to enter the 36th Street station, an individual on that train donned what appeared to be a gas mask. He then took a canister out of his bag and opened it. The train at that time began to fill with smoke. He then opened fire, striking multiple people on the subway and in the platform. Again, we will describe him as an individual. He is being reported as a male black, approximately 5 feet 5 inches tall with a heavy build. He was wearing a green construction type vest and a hooded sweatshirt. The color is gray.
Let us hope that, God willing, by the end of this show, they find him. Or identify them, or know who they're looking for. We will get to how that works with somebody with a great deal of FBI experience. In fact, he was the FBI manhunter who succeeded in apprehending the Unabomber. James R. Fitzgerald joins us and talks generally about the importance of the FBI and how you operate in a situation like this. We'll be right back on the Medved Show.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A manhunt is underway for the suspect in a Brooklyn subway shooting. Schools in the area remain on lockdown. With more on the story, here's USA Radio Network's Lance Pry in our West Coast News Bureau.
Roughly two dozen people were shot or otherwise injured after a lone gunman in a reflective vest and possibly wearing a gas mask threw smoke bombs on a subway car in Brooklyn and began shooting Tuesday morning. It happened on the southbound R train beginning at 25th Street. As the doors closed, the suspect threw the smoke bombs and opened fire. One witness on ABC 7 in New York City.
People all look scared, terrified, calling their parents, calling their jobs.
A U.S. attorney in Michigan is planning to refile charges against two men accused of plotting to kidnap Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer. A mistrial was declared in the high-profile case last week. USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
What is the difference between collagen protein and a whey protein? Pure collagen is an incomplete protein that supplies amino acids which support connective tissue repair. However, what determines most of the connective tissue synthesis in the body is the level of growth hormone. Children have wrinkle-free, plump skin and agile joints not because they're eating collagen every day, but because they have high levels of growth hormone. Low growth hormone levels results in wrinkles and diminished connective tissue health. Consuming collagen does not overcome this. Cold sterilized whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows is a complete protein and supports connective tissue health as well as glutathione production, immunity, detoxification, combats inflammation, supports muscle size and strength, energy, fat loss, and more. Connective tissue health is dependent upon proper nutrient levels, how clean the cellular environment is, and optimal levels of growth hormone. To learn more about a true fountain of youth protein powder called Green Meadow Whey and how to support youthful levels of growth hormone, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's bestwheyprotein.net.
Fitzgerald has given his life to law enforcement and with remarkable success and remarkable acclaim. He served for 20 years in the FBI as a supervisory special agent and 11 years before that as a police officer and detective sergeant on the Bensalem Township, Pennsylvania Police Department. He has successfully investigated numerous homicides, sexual assaults, kidnappings, bank robberies, and other violent crimes. Most famously, the Unabomber crime. And when you hear about a crime like what occurred this morning, do you have a problem with classifying this as an act of terror because of its very nature, even though we don't know the motive or anything like that, but as an act of terror, the way that the Mayor Adams of New York just did?
Hi, Michael. First of all, it's great to be back with you, unfortunately, under these type of circumstances. Yeah, there seems to be a little bit of a contention between the mayor and the police commissioner in terms of whether it's an act of terrorism or not. I can tell you this as having been a responder in New York City, an FBI agent, and having gone to the scene of the first World Trade Center bombing in 93, the last thing the agents on the ground are thinking about is a categorization of the crime itself. It's a crime. People are hurt. People are dead. Let's try to find evidence. Let's try to find witnesses. Let's try to, of course, take care of the injured first for the real first responders. But then after that, let's try to put this case together. It's higher up in management of these of the law enforcement and intel agencies who ultimately decide whether it's an act of terrorism or not. So it may be by definition, Michael. It may not be. It's really too early to tell. It's a mass shooting for now, as far as I see it. And on the and a little bit of a sophisticated level to it also, not just a gun, but obviously with some explosive or at least smoke-producing devices.
Yeah, and with the gas mask that he carried with him in advance. You've been there. Is it, when you think about the fact that the guy has obviously gotten away, I'm not sure they have any images of him because apparently the video cameras weren't working. How do you even begin to try to find an individual like this?
Well, you're the first one to tell me the video cameras weren't working. That's how they used to be years ago. But the system, I thought the multiple systems in multiple cities were so sophisticated now. I'm sure there'll be some cameras on the street level, if not in the subway itself. Just like with the Boston Marathon, it took, you know, days of going through thousands of separate, hundreds of separate hours of different cameras when they finally found the two brothers responsible. So that's part of what they're going to be doing today. They're going to be looking for the ingress and the egress to these to this individual. When did he get on the N train? We know when he got off. But, you know, was he cruising all night on the train, setting himself up? Does he live right in that particular area? My early estimation would be he had an easy way to egress, in other words, exit that scene and get somewhere right away where he wouldn't be noticed. I'm not sure if he ditched the gas mask. Apparently he's rolling around some kind of a milk crate to carry his implementations. He had at least several magazines on him with what's reported as a clock. So he obviously had enough technical experience to know how to change out a magazine when the rounds ended in each one. So they're going to be looking at all kinds of things here. And Michael, what I want to say too is very important is what we profilers call victimology. Let's look at the people who were shot. And I'm not subscribing to this theory at all yet, but I've been familiar, really, the D.C. sniper case, and a lot of people after all these years don't remember this, but his whole purpose in killing all those people was to take out his ex-wife. That was in 2002, John Muhammad. Now, I'm not saying that applies here, but maybe one of the people that was injured, and so far, hopefully, there's nothing worse than an injury and no death result, but perhaps that was one of the people that was the actual target, and the rest are, quote-unquote, collateral damage. I don't like using that term in this context, but that's what it is. So, again, I'm not locking into that theory at all. I want to make that clear, but that's something the investigators are going to want to talk to each and every individual who was shot or injured, and maybe even some of those who weren't hit but were there, and say, is there anyone you can think of in your life that would do something like this? And it's certainly a possibility. Someone may give a name, and it could be this offender.
So apparently, so far, the numbers are we've had 119 mass shootings so far this year, which I believe officially constitute shootings of four or more people. And are most of the mass shooters, including in apparently senseless crimes like this, your perspective that you were just talking about the victimology, figuring out who he may have been going for is fascinating, but do most mass shooters come to justice? Are they found?
Yes, they are. If they don't commit suicide themselves at the scene, the police take them out at the scene or shortly thereafter, or, of course, they eventually get arrested. I can't think of too many mass shootings, if any, in recent times in which the individual hasn't been identified. As early as a week and a half ago in Sacramento, I think it was a Sunday morning or so, like 2 a.m., there was a mass shooting, and they weren't sure what that was, and all my thought processes I just laid out to you, of course, crossed my mind just thinking about that case. That turned out to be like a gang-related thing of a guy who basically shouldn't have been out of prison, but he was. We may see that in this case. Again, I don't know that fact, but this may have been someone with a history of violent behavior, went through the system, and was out on bail or early release or whatever, and now something like this is carried out. No matter whether that's the case or not, we all have to pray and be concerned about the victims here. This is senseless to every one of us with brain synapses that connect and function the way they should. But to this person, the shooter himself, it made perfect sense. And that's the sad part, that our society has to figure out a way that these people are not led to believe something like this is logical or sensical to carry out.
You worked 20 years with the FBI. The FBI is under a lot of attack and indictment, particularly from elements in the conservative movement right now, and I would have thought that most conservatives would be big supporters of law and order and the FBI. Do you believe that the FBI has hit a problematic spot in its history?
Well, let me. I will answer that, but I can tell you some of my former squad mates. I'm long retired, but from my former squad in the New York office, they're going to be there and they're going to be working this case too. So they're going to be definitely involved in this and doing the best they can with no political agenda at all on their part.
Of course.
Has upper management been compromised in some way on a political way? I think it's obvious that there has been some of that. It may have filtered down into some other supervisory levels. I was disappointed in the outcome of the Michigan, the governor kidnapping case, but then looking at how that all played out, the various agents involved, the timing of the arrests themselves a month before the last, the 2020 election, I said, all right, what's up with that? Is the timing, couldn't they have waited one extra month for that? And, of course, it resulted in two acquittals and two mistrials in terms of what happened last week in Michigan. So there are some political machinations taking place, certainly at the upper levels and at some other levels. And speaking of shootings in Texas earlier this year, I couldn't believe a synagogue was shot up by a guy who clearly had affiliation with anti-Semite groups, and the FBI special agent in charge of the division came out and said, oh, no, not terrorism at all, not terrorism. It's a lone act of a lone individual with no connection to any ideology in that regard. But within 6 to 12 hours, FBI headquarters had to come back and sort of correct him. So it's at least some of these political aspirations and opinions have gone down into the individual divisional level.
Mr. Fitzgerald, can you hang on for a few more minutes? James R. Fitzgerald, author of the book Manhunt on Unabomber and more. We'll be right back with James R. Fitzgerald. Many people own coins that have not performed as well as they had hoped they would, but markets change and you should get a new valuation. Maybe the coins have done better with current moves in precious metals, or maybe you want to do something else with that money. Let me tell you about my friend Nick Vrovich. He's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. For over 40 years, Nick has built a reputation for trust, honesty, and his goal is to earn your business for life. He won't push you to sell, but when you're ready, he offers the best prices, trades, and consignment deals in America. Right now, Nick and the AmFed team are offering their exclusive coin performance review totally free. Yes, totally free with a no-pressure guarantee from Nick. Go online at AmericanFederal.com or call 800-221-7694. That's AmericanFederal.com and 800-221-7694. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. If you think Washington State's headed in the right direction, well, then this message is not for you. But if you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness and an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes, and its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Washington State is our home, and it needs WPC more than ever. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
They have just released photographs of the suspect's bag that he left behind as he fled, and there's now speculation in terms of the timing of this, that this plan, if he had a plan, may not have been to hit the subway. He very possibly was taking the subway somewhere else with this bag full of fireworks and various kinds of explosives, probably enough to make a substantial explosion, left behind. I'm speaking to James R. Fitzgerald, 20 years of FBI experience, figuring out, tracking down people who are criminals, very dangerous. He remains an active criminal profiler and forensic linguist with his company, James R. Fitzgerald Associates, even after his retirement in 2007. In terms of trying to figure out some of this, I mean, I can imagine that they probably do have, would this be handled in the nature of these things by the FBI's New York office, or would they bring additional personnel on something like this?
No, this would definitely be handled in the New York office. There are about 1,200 agents assigned in New York. It's the biggest FBI division in the country, and there's another 1,000 analytical people there spread all over the five boroughs and even to the suburbs. So this will be working. There could be headquarters folks coming up or laboratory folks coming up from Quantico, but the main thrust of this will be worked probably as a joint task force with the NYPD and the FBI, and, of course, state police, ATF, other agencies could be in there too, but they're all working this together. A command post is set up in some building somewhere in that particular area, and they are got computer programs designed to just start from scratch, and they start plugging in videos, they start plugging in addresses, and maybe any phones that have been pinged in that particular area where they've gone, where they started from that morning, and all this information is going to start coming together before long.
Do you think, I mean, and again, you've worked in law enforcement in a local police department before your 20 years at the FBI. Do you believe that we can do better in making sure that a disturbed individual, as this individual obviously was, I mean, and also someone very possibly with a criminal record, can be kept away more effectively? We just got disconnected. The question that I was putting to him, are we reconnected here, Jeremy? Okay. In any event, he has a four-part memoir series. It's called A Journey to the Center of the Mind. And I think of someone like the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, who he helped to find. The gunman behind today's Brooklyn subway rampage has been on the run for more than 7 hours, they say, and now cops across the city have been ordered to be on the lookout for a U-Haul without a state plates, police sources have said. The news of the potential involvement of a rental van with Arizona plates comes amid a massive manhunt for the shooter by police, who have released a few details on the suspect, with sources revealing that the surveillance cameras at the station were out of commission. Mr. Fitzgerald, are you back with us?
I am. Sorry about whatever happened. Sorry about that, but I'm here.
It's like I was announcing again their report that the surveillance cameras were out of commission. Things just seeming to go wrong with this so far. What we were just talking about here is that generally is a question of national policy. Is it possible, should it be possible, while protecting people's very important Second Amendment rights and their ability to protect their families and to have access for law-abiding citizens to firearms, to seek out people who are mentally disturbed and who almost certainly have some kind of criminal and or mental health history to make it more difficult for them to get hold of firearms like this offender had?
I'll answer that, Michael, but real quick, maybe it's not a coincidence that where this offense took place today, the cameras were out. Perhaps the offender knew that in advance. Perhaps he played some sort of role in knocking them out. I don't know that yet. We may be giving him way too level of credibility here and sophistication, but let's not rule that out. Because I know the subway system is very well protected with cameras and surveillance, as well as most intersections in the city. So that's kind of odd that they're out for this type of offense. However, to answer your question, yeah, I mean, I've heard this debate for years back and forth. Our Second Amendment rights, our Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights, and, you know, where do they intersect? What's the nexus of them? And, of course, someone with mental health issues, diagnosable mental health condition, you know, should not have access to weapons, no ands, ifs, or buts. However, this guy today, even if he was so diagnosed, he could have very possibly still had the smoke bomb. He could have had any other, supposedly someone said he had a hammer with him or a hatchet in the bag. He could have had a machete, some sharp knives. And, I mean, he could have done, especially in smoke, he could have done almost as much damage as he may have done with shooting 10 people. That's the number I'm hearing now. But, I'm a Second Amendment guy. I believe in that. I'm also a small government guy. And sometimes, and those two align there. But I also believe that not everyone should be able to carry a weapon or have access to to a pistol or a firearm or a rifle of that sort. So, but it has to be carefully regulated through the courts, not just a random, investigator or politician saying someone should have a weapon, someone not. I think there has to be a, a red flag law. Some of them have in, that are apparent in some states and exist in some states, and something like that. Thought out, and with the protective elements in there, rights of appeal, even legal counsel perhaps. But if someone clearly demonstrates they cannot handle reality very well, they should not have access to deadly weapons.
Okay, that's exactly the kind of sensible and balanced approach I would have expected here. By the way, the New York Post is just reporting police are still trying to determine why the cameras at the Sunset Park subway station were not working at the time of the 8:30 a.m. attack that injured 29, now they're saying, including 10 who were shot, other people just injured in the stampede. Law enforcement sources told the Post the cameras tend to go out from time to time. Mayor Adams acknowledged the malfunction during remote media appearances this afternoon. We do know there was a problem with the camera at that particular station. Probably had more than one. We're investigating if there were any video footage there, but at this time we're tracking down a number of leads. So, again, in terms of if it is likely, is it not, that if there were some other involvement, if this were some kind of group effort, we would get wind of that fairly quickly?
These are rarely group efforts. I mean, Columbine had two kids involved in it. So far, there's no, of which I am aware, any terrorist demands or responsibility. The Irish Republican Army, after every bombing they did or shooting, they would, announce why they did it and what have you. Nothing like that here. Whether Al-Qaeda or ISIS, someone like that would have claimed some sort of responsibility. Nothing like that so far. It's way too early for me to project. One person, two persons, one person on the scene. We'll assume that's what it is for now, but surveillance cameras and other evidence and other witness identification may point to him jumping in a car with someone and taking off. But he got away pretty quickly at this station from the 36th and 4th Ave. And he must have had some way to go and people not see him after that fact, where he quickly just took off his gas mask, any kind of a vest he was wearing, and blended in with the crowd.
James R. Fitzgerald, we've posted information about him. There's also a Discovery Channel miniseries scripted called Manhunt Unabomber, which is still available and fascinating viewing. Check it out at michaelmedved.com in what remains this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried, and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients, and it's alcohol-free, too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.